Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab. Thank you so much for joining me and Activate Yourself today, where we have a wonderful guest. Kimberly Meredith has the longest list of accomplishments. She's a renowned celebrity. She's psychic, medical intuitive. She's a medium. She's a healer. She's a keynote speaker and a leading spiritual teacher. And she takes all of these skills and uses them to be actually a very unique life coach. She recently wrote a best-selling book, Awakening to the Fifth Dimension, which has constantly and consistently changed countless lives. A book which actually I have bought. I've not yet read it, but I've absolutely bought it. So with all of these insane and extraordinary healing and psychic abilities, Kimberly, you've helped so many thousands of people improve from everything, including significant illnesses and emotional conditions. And a lot of these gifts came to you following two, not one, but two near-death experiences. And you came back from those with a mission. Could you tell us a little bit more about them?
Thank you. Yes. So I was born with abilities as a baby to start it off. My mom thought I was autistic. I was dyslexic as a child. I always had tics going on, blinking eyes. But I pushed it down as a child because I was told not to do it. And I always had paranormal experiences happening to me as a very young child. So I always had a faint whisper in my left ear telling me when I was young, my grandmother was going to pass away, my great grandmother. And so I always was having these very interesting occurrences happen. And I had my paternal grandmother encourage it. I would rub my hands together. They would get very hot when I was around 5 years old, and I did a healing on my paternal grandmother. She had asthma and she was healed. And so these things were natural to me as a very young, a young child. I would say things when I was little at school, like I had been reincarnated. And so the principal had asked my mother, where did she hear that word reincarnated? And my mom, who was Italian and very aggressive, would slap me across the face and say, don't say reincarnated. That's a word you don't say. She was Italian Catholic and they didn't believe in that. So leading up to my life in a short, you know, a short story, I push my blinking communication. The blinking eyes is how I communicate with the omnipresent and spirit. I forced myself at a young age to stop blinking and communicating with the afterlife.
Oh, gosh.
And then in 2012, I went into nursing. So I was in nursing my whole life and community and helping people. And in 2012, I was working in the entertainment world. Also, several TV shows and on camera work and helping directors and producers make shows look real as possible. Right. So I work in a hospital, still doing in the nursing, certified nursing, and also worked on camera helping. And I became very well known doing that. I finally got my own show and I was getting picked up to go to the set, and I got hit going into the car on foot.
Oh, God. After all that, you worked so hard to get there. And then you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. And life for me up into that had always been kind of an interesting life where I was always struggling. My mom had struggled with alcoholism. Both my parents died very young. And so I always was very work, 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 work. You know, it was always work. I never really complained. I always worked 14 to 15 hours a day since I was young to pay for family and help family and everything. So when I got hit,
Yeah. Did you
go
feel
ahead.
you had to do that because people were looking after you, so out of gratitude, you had to look for them as well?
You mean working so much?
Yeah, because that's a huge work ethic from a young age.
I had to pay for my mom because she was not able to function to survive for us. So I was helping to help her. And then she passed away young of alcoholism. And, but I always remember I had such a strong faith in Mother Mary and God and Holy Spirit and just this energy that I knew I had communicated with when I was little. And even when I worked in the hospitals, my supervisors would often say, this person coded and it's over. And I'd say, I remember still hearing like a little voice say, no, let's keep going. So I
Right.
would go in and say, let's go, let's keep going. And the doctors would say, no, it's over. And I remember just hearing specifically certain little prayers because I was raised in a very mixed, diverse religious home. My stepfather was Jewish and he had us converted to Judaism. So I knew all the Hebrew prayers. The hospital I was working in was Cedars-Sinai. So there were a lot of rabbis there. So I would start praying in Hebrew. And several times people would come back.
Wow.
And I would lay my hands or wrap them in a blanket, their eyes would open back up, and they were supposed to have been gone. So things like that started occurring. And even when I was much younger, like in my 20s, and I was working at UCLA, there were many times that people were not supposed to make it and they were in a coma. And I would start rubbing my hands together, laying my hands down, and saying the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers, and they would open their eyes up. So this is something that wasn't a psychic ability. This was a healing ability that was going on. But it was something was normal to me because I just did that since I was little. I would just do that not only on people but animals. So leading up to my near-death experience, I had this automobile accident, and it was horrific. I was in a lot of trouble with this situation where my kidneys were shutting down, and my fiance I was living with at the time took me in. It was on Christmas Eve, where most of the staff was kind of gone there, and it was the same hospital I had been working at for 7 years.
Right.
So I went in. The person I had been, and I came out a totally different person.
You hear that, right? With near-death
Yeah,
experiences.
I was never the same. Yeah, I came out 3 months later.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 months later, in a wheelchair and not speaking the same. And I never went back to nursing ever again, and I never went back to the entertainment world. I lost my position there, and I lost my fiance, and I lost my life totally. I lost everything that I had ever worked for. I lost
Years and years and years. I mean, my God.
everything. I lost everything.
That is so awful. And then you had another near-death experience.
I had another NDE about, I'd say it was about 4 weeks later.
Like when you were in the hospital.
No, when I got home.
Wow. Oh, you mean after you got on? So you're there for 3 months, you've come home, and then 4 weeks after that, when you think I'm recovering. What happens then?
I was about 90. God, I went in the hospital. I was about 150. I got home. I was about 94 pounds.
Good grief.
And I had a nurse here in and out. And I had a dog that they wanted me to get rid of that I loved. I had a rescued an American bulldog, Pit. And he was about almost the same weight as me. He was 89 pounds.
Wow.
And I was told, never to take him out. The nurse was late. He had to go to the bathroom. And I wasn't walking.
Yeah.
I was still in a wheelchair. But I thought, well, I'll just try to go out the front door, just like the front. So I took a few steps out the front, barely to the front. And a gardener walked by us. And he thought that the gardener was going to hurt me. And he had like a blower. And he lunged towards the gardener and threw me into the street.
Oh, poor you. And then?
I cracked my skull open.
So back into the hospital.
That was the one that really was, yeah, I still have a lot of issues from that one.
How were you in this time?
I wasn't in as long, but it was more complicated. Yeah, it was more complicated. A lot of swelling, and issues with
On the
that.
brain, I can imagine. And no, you don't know what's going to happen till the swelling goes down, right? So it's a very long recovery.
Yeah, and I saw a lot. I saw a lot of angelic angels. I saw dualities. And the interesting thing is that my dog saved my life. He laid his body over my body. Could have been killed by the oncoming cars in the middle of the street.
This dog that they wanted you to get rid of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was something about the whole thing that happened that opened me up to becoming very fearless and calm. And when I came home after that experience, I stopped talking. I wasn't talking. I became very inward. And there were many people very worried about me, family members, where I just didn't want to talk. I became very quiet and shy and didn't speak much.
Two very traumatic experiences back to back would really do you in, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and then very shortly after that, I started seeing visions of angels and I started blinking like I did when I was a baby.
Wow. It
I
all
was,
got to come back open again.
yeah, so I was sitting on the couch with my dog, and all of a sudden, this bright light came through my third eye, and I was crying, and I said, I don't want this life. I don't want this pain. The pain was so horrific in my brain. And I was on medication. And I said, God, please take this pain away from me. I don't want to be like this anymore. And I was crying. And I heard a voice in my ear say, go to the bathroom and throw all these medications in the toilet. And I wasn't supposed to do that because I could die. Is for
Obviously.
the swelling on my brain and everything. But I got up and I threw it in the toilet and I flushed it down the drain. And I sat back on the couch and this ball of light just came to my third eye. And then my eyes shortly was like blink, like a blink, blink. And then like a few days later, it was again and again. And then just organically, I felt this peacefulness come over my body. And then the right eye would blink a little, the left eye would blink a little. And I was thinking, is this like when I was little happening?
Exactly. Did you remember it?
Yeah, I started to remember. And then I told the person I was living with, my fiance, he says that that can't be happening. He's very third dimensional, a lovely person, but not understanding this, he said,
No.
that can't be happening. That's not happening to you. I said, this is what happened when I was little. He says, no. And you're sounding a little different. And I said, well, I don't know. He goes, sound like the girl that I started going out with. I said, I am the person. He goes, no, you're not. Start sounding like the person that I was going out with. And then my eyes started blinking more. So I started writing it down. I says, does this mean yes? And they said yes. Does this mean no? They said yes, no. And so it started communicating with me this information, and it was scary.
And did how did the the gifts start to come in, like the medium and the psychic, because you already had all the intuition. How did they kind of coalesce into these particular skills?
Well, I was still in pain, and one of my girlfriends was an RN, and she was also working on lots of television shows with me. She'd come by and visit. She was a Reiki practitioner also in hospitals and everywhere. And I wasn't, I didn't know anything about Reiki. She started rubbing her hands together, putting it on my neck. She saw my eyes blinking. I said, "You know, it's connecting with my hands, the blinking." She goes, "It is?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I'm still in pain." She goes, "Well, let me do Reiki." My agent that I had, so I had an agent that would send me on these television shows. And we're talking about Grey's Anatomy. We're talking about Scrubs. We're talking about Brothers and Sisters, huge shows. And he was worried about me. So he came to visit me. It all started from him. He came over, he sat on my couch, and he said, "What are you going to do with your life now?" And I said, "Nothing. I can't do anything. I can't go back to do anything. I can't hold my head up for very long. I'm still in a lot of pain." I said, "But look at my eyes." I said, "My eyes are blinking and I can heal myself. I feel better. I'm not taking my medicine." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look at my hands. I said, they're getting hot. And I think I can do something. It's called Reiki." He goes, "Reiki?" So he's an agent. Like an acting agent, television booking person. So he doesn't know what that is. So he goes, "Okay." So he says, "Well, maybe you can heal me." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I'm supposed to have surgery in a couple of days." He says, "Look at my ankle." So he pulled his ankle up on the couch and it was very swollen. And he had this, it's called Achilles tendon coming out. So I just, not knowing it, I rubbed my hands together and I put my hand over his Achilles heel.
Right.
And this was just one afternoon and I wasn't feeling good and I was just sitting on the couch with him and I rubbed my hand over it. And I remember hearing a whisper in my ear saying, "Say the Hail Mary." So I said the Hail Mary on him and I said, "Om." I went, "Om." And I had this machine on my table called a cold laser machine, but you would need 7 sessions. But I just picked it up and I went over him with the cold laser a little bit. And then he said, "Okay," and he left. Then he called me up a few days later and he said, "Kimberly, I just came back from the hospital and I'm healed." And that was the beginning of it all. I said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "I'm completely healed. They canceled my surgery." He says, "You're a healer." And I said, that was the first time anyone ever called me a healer. I said, "I'm a healer." He goes, "Yeah, you're a healer." He says, "It's completely went back up. It stayed. And they did multiple x-rays, ultrasound, and I'm healed. So I'm going to go to the gym." There was this big gym in LA called Gold's Gym. And he says, "There's lots of people there that need healing. And I'm going to start sending them to your house. You need to get like a Reiki bed or something, and maybe you can start doing healings for them. And some of them is like George Foreman and other people like that, and you could start doing healings on them." So that's how it started. So they all start coming over here, and I wasn't charging anybody. And what I would do, then the guys start doing their met, it's called a medical intuitive, but I am. And that just started by practicing on hundreds. It started from few people to hundreds of people in my living room. What would I do is that they would start scanning with my eyes over people's bodies. I would blink and scan first, and then I would do my hands-on healing. It went from me doing like a scan saying, "Oh, do you have a rotator cuff tear?" They'd go, "Yeah." "Oh, do you have a lymph node here that could be cancer?" And they say, "Yeah, I do." Or maybe, "Do you have this or this or that?" It went from a little bit to becoming more and more and more and more known in Los Angeles community, where people from What's the Bleep to The Secret to many people started finding out about me, and I became discovered in my living room.
I love that. When did you make that into something that you do as a business? How long did that take? Because would have charged at some stage through that
It
process.
didn't become a business for many years. I got discovered in my living room. What happened is the person I was living with said, after 7 months of that, you need to stop it, and I'm moving out. This is not the person that I signed up to be with. So when he moved out, I would not be able to survive. And what happened after that was that I got discovered by a woman, thank God, that knew who Edgar Cayce was,
Oh,
because
did she?
she worked in Virginia and
Mm-hmm.
also owned one of the biggest expos. And she heard about me through a man that I healed. And he told her about me. Word of mouth spreads quickly when you're good at something. And I never had heard of Edgar Cayce. And she said, do you know you're channeling Edgar Cayce? And I said, I don't know who Edgar Cayce is. She says, well, you're a medical intuitive. And I said, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And she says, well, that's what you are. You're finding medical illnesses in people's bodies, physical, emotional, and you're blinking and scanning. And she says, I'm flying you out here to be in our expo. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have the money to fly. She goes, yes, you do. And I said, well, if I leave, I won't be able to afford to leave. And she goes, I'll pay for your rent for 2 months and an assistant and fly you here. And
Wow.
that was the beginning of it. So when I went there, I ended up meeting people from the Casey. And then I ended up coming home. By the time I came back home, I think it was around 2015, 16, I got offered an office in Los Angeles that was paid for by the Near Death Experience groups. And then things just started happening from there.
So we're going to go for a short break and we're going to come back.
Okay.
And I'd like to know more about how these are really big things that you do. So it'd be nice to know how they change over the years and what new abilities, come and go and as you develop. So we'll be back in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Thank
So
you.
we're back. What is it that do you have new abilities that come in at different times?
Yeah, new things have transpired since then. And talking about back then seems so beautiful. And now things are great now, but they really have progressed.
Yeah, they really have.
They have.
How do you, because what happens, like, do you develop new abilities? Have you recently done that?
Yes, I have.
Tell me more about that. What are they?
They're called soul code frequency that I do. So and I'm also a teacher now and an author. I wasn't an author then.
Right.
So,
Yes,
yeah.
because you have this new book on the fifth dimension. Is it Awakenings?
Yeah, they channeled a full-blown book, the guides did. And the guides are now doing soul codes on people. They're developing energy frequency codes for everybody. They're going into people and they're upgrading people's own abilities and helping people learn to channel, and also for people to understand that they can have the life that they want to have and give them, it's called the Elohim, the Supreme God energy, frequency codes. Everybody has a path of code numbers, and everybody comes in the world with their own frequency codes. So I'm able to look into people telepathically. I'm a telepathic communicator. I was when I was a baby. I've always been like that.
It didn't make people comfortable, right? That's the only
Yeah.
difference.
My great grandmother, Josefina from Italy, she was a psychic too.
Yeah. So, and it tends to go down the female line as well, doesn't it? So
Yeah.
what soul codes that you help people find, what are those codes?
Yeah. So everybody has frequency codes when they come into their birth, when they're born. And so everybody has at least 10 codes, and everyone's codes have a message. And sometimes people are frustrated and off track with their life. And your children have codes, your husband has a code, everyone has a code. Where we work has a frequency. So sometimes people say, oh, I feel like I don't really integrate well where I'm at, because you're not in the integration of where you're working or something like that. So, or you're not working in your birth right. So, once you know what your frequency codes are and you're on your mission, some people are actually blessed because they are working in their mission, but some people are not. So once you kind of know your code frequencies, then you feel really good about it, because then you get on track.
So
So
that's
I
like
do read.
10 code frequencies.
You're in alignment. Yeah, you're in alignment with your code frequencies. I do up to 10 years right now with their frequency codes. And then I feel like by 2035, we're going to have, like, I know people always say, oh, the Great Awakening is happening right now. But I feel like we have some time for that big awakening happening. So people have a lot of time right now to get in alignment
Okay,
with
so
their soul
I
code.
understand this. So can you, I say I have a code, right? Is that what you're saying?
When you were born, you have your main three codes that you're born with. And then you have additional alignments, codes that are coming up, and they can shift in and out. So, like, your first three codes that come in for you when you're born, you can't change those. You have other frequency numbers that come in. And then maybe you're married to someone, you two have codes together. And people go, oh my God, you're so correct, Kimberly, because it just can never work with my significant other. And then, oh my God, you're right. When I met this person, we immediately were like this. So I'll read relationships with people, and they'll be like soulmates. They'll have two eights together. Two eights mean not only are they relationship lovers, but they're also relationship friends. And then a
Got
nine will mean, so I have different numbers and codes. It's not astrology, it's from the omnipresent God.
it. Okay,
They
so is
create.
there a short way to tell me a code that I'm at now without going through a whole thing of it?
Well, you came in as a seven. So when I look at you, so I'm a fast reader, like I look at you, I see the seven above your head. The seven represents in the Bible, how many times were the sevens there? Like what? 800 times? I don't even know. Eight, nine, I don't even know. But sevens mean the spiritual leader. Seven means you're automatically a very spiritual person. Not everybody is a seven. You like to teach. I mean, you could say, I don't like that, but they're saying you were born with as a seven.
No, I love it. I really enjoy it.
So say you weren't doing it. Say you were not doing any kind of teaching. You were not meditating. You were not, say all of a sudden you said to me, well, Kimberly, I'm an accountant all day. And I'd say to you, well, you were born a seven. The person might say to me, you know what? I'm not in my alignment. You're right, Kimberly. I always feel like I want to teach. I always feel like I'm very spiritual. And this year I want to start moving into that direction. So what I do for people is I'll do their alignment soul codes.
Yeah. I like what I like about this is that I use different words maybe for it, but I think people are in resonance in different times and out of resonance. So it sounds so similar. And I always feel that there are times like now when I'm doing what I'm doing, I feel like I'm so in resonance with what I was born to do in a way that I haven't been for years and years and years.
You're exactly correct, because my birth codes, right, for many years before I got, I died, I
Yeah.
was in my alignment and my soul codes. I was in hospitals.
That was a real.
I was helping people, because I'm born a four. You'd think I'd be a seven because I'm a spiritual teacher, but I'm born a four. My first number is a four. Four is the healer, the helper, the servant. So I was always in hospitals and, changing diapers and healing people and feeding them. But now I'm, the healer in a different way. But, everyone always would think I was a seven, but I'm not. But yeah, so these alignment, these codes are very important, because the infinite soul coding is where we're going in the next few years. In the fifth dimension and beyond, people are going to know that money and the currency of that, my guides go, no, the currency is love. The currency is selflessness. The currency is giving and being who you authentically are.
Yeah,
And that
and I think
generates.
people are more authentic. They also have such a bigger presence because they are doing the things they were meant to do. So you show up so differently. And the things that I would push and struggle to do, when I do it in this arena, they're easy and effortless and they flow because you become more magnetic.
Yes. Not about the pride. It's
There
about
was
the
that.
humility. It's about the humility.
Yeah, exactly. You were blinking there. I was like, is that a no or a yes?
No, these are when both eyes blink, it's God, God. You're so cute. It's God, God.
Just checking. If I'm doing something wrong, you this now's a good time to tell me. But it doesn't feel like it. It feels beautifully aligned. And I there's a there's it becomes a space in your heart and an openness that I've never felt before, which is the nicest feeling.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And yeah, it's never Kimberly, it's always the guide speaking, so they're always coming in. Yeah.
So when we're gonna go for a quick break and then we'll come back. And I want to talk about how much value you bring to people in terms of uncertainty, you know? And I think that really matters. So we'll just go for a short break.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back, and I think one of the things that we don't always give much credence to, oh, it's a psychic or oh, it's a medium. And, you know, there isn't a mainstream appreciation, but I have found like I always see somebody who's a psychic around my birthday and at the end of the year. So I always kind of have two places where I'm like, I want to steer on where I'm going for the year and how it feels. And I've always done that. And it's something I don't really talk about, but I've always done it because it brings me a sense of scaffolding that I can operate within. That gives me a sense of joy. And you're like, I don't have to believe every word you're saying, but I love the concept of direction. So, do you find that people come to you often because of that?
I do. I have people come to me during a death or birthdays. I do get that. And also because I'm a medical intuitive and psychic, where I get people that want health readings a lot because they want their checkups. I do get people that want both, a combo. You know, they'll want their medical readings, psychic readings to make sure the health and vitamins and supplements, but also maybe a loved one's crossed over. Maybe their mother or their son has taken their lives. I lost a family member to suicide. I work with parents of lost children. And so I bring a lot of comfort and feeling safe, knowing that they are, and I'm an evidential psychic medium, so I bring a lot of evidence in. So that makes them feel really comfy and safe and feeling better. My dad had taken his life when I was young. And so often my dad will come in, and for me even, and I'll hear him whisper, and he'll like move his picture, so I know that he's with me and watching over me. So often, and I hold groups, I hold nonprofit organized groups for people that support groups I hold. So
Yes.
it keeps me going. You know, the more I help people with my work, the more I feel strong and helpful. And I feel that you're right. It does bring a lot of comfort when you can bring some evidential psychic mediumship in.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, at this stage, I don't really care about the evidential because I've done this for years now, and I know that when you're meant to be in front of someone, you end up being in front of that person.
You're
And
right.
it's always the way, you know, like the way we've tried to connect and it hasn't worked and it hasn't worked and then it worked. It was like, okay, we're just meant to be here. We're meant to have
Yeah.
this conversation.
Like when I come on with you, I keep seeing a woman on your shoulder, a woman on the left side of your shoulder over and over. It's like for me, it's just because I am born with this gift. they always show up for me. If somebody wants to come in and be with a person I'm sitting in front of, it's hard for me to turn it off. So
Yeah.
like it's constantly, she just keeps coming in. So that's just automatically. So the woman keeps coming in. So yeah.
She's like, there's someone who can see me. Hooray, I have access now. She turns up. You have a lot of science-based what I like about your approach is that it is science-based. You have science-based evidence and proof, and this has been something that you've been very focused on your whole life. Tell me more about that.
I never really thought about being scientifically researched. That just kind of happened randomly. I was in New York City doing an event at St. Andrew's Church. There was like 700 people there, and we had witnessed a man being healed, and the word got out to Dr. Norman Shealy, who was the man that founded the holistic health and wellness words. So he founded Carolyn Meese and all these people.
Very
And
famous.
yes, he had heard about me, and then I had healed a man with thyroid conditions and cancer, woman with a lump that disappeared off of her in front of hundreds of people. So my work is very interesting, where I lay hands and things just dissolve off people. So when I got home, he had called me and he had said, "Can you come out to my organization and let's do some testing on you?" And I flew out there, and that experience was really profound. When I do something, Gita, I'll always ask the guides, "Do you guys want me to go?" And they'll either say yes or no.
I
If they say
agree.
no, I won't go. They said yes for me to go. And when I went, which was profound, and there'll never be another book like The Awakening to the Fifth Dimension, because I won't probably do scientific testing again. I think I've done enough. But when I went, they had me do so much testing with so many people. This one woman had a lump. It was about this big. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, I can. It's huge.
And we filmed it. She opened her arms and she was holding crystals, and we laid hands. And this is something like I've been doing forever, but they've never seen something like it. And she just was supposed to have surgery on it. It just dissolved instantaneously with us praying and breathing. And Dr. Shealy came over, and it's in the front of the book. And he just put his hand on it, and I saw a tear just fall down his cheek. And
Oh.
I'll never forget it. And he just looked at me and he said, "That's the omnipresent." And she just put her hands around and she goes, "It's gone." And then we got the results back from her actual doctor, and the ultrasound and the x-rays. So she never had to have surgery. It just completely dissolved from the Holy One.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You do a lot of work with where you live with veterans and tell us a
Yes.
little bit more about that.
Thank you. So yes, yeah, so for 4 years I've been volunteering for an organization called a 501c called Heaven and Earth Oasis. And they're in Los Angeles, and they've been around for, I think, over 20 years. And they donate their time and energy to the Veterans Administration and the military and homeless. And they put on every year a very big benefit. And they also, throughout the year, give coupons to homeless and veterans to go out around Los Angeles for vitamin drips, for various types of health that they may need that they can't get. And now I've been moved on to the board.
Oh,
So,
wow.
and I have a little clinic in LA also that I open on Mondays. So you can contact me and I'll put you in touch with them, and we do kind of a back and forth share with our company.
Oh, that's amazing. Good for you. What would you like us to leave everybody with? Like a message for people today, this year?
Yes, I believe that everybody can have a miracle healing. Everybody, not to go into fear. To know that you could feel a little bit unstable right now with what's going on in our world, but know that you're not alone. Know that you have people like Gita and me. You can come to my heal, the it's called thehealingtrilogy.com, and we'll never turn you away. We have groups, community groups that you can come to online, and know that you have people that love you.
I love that. That is the perfect place to end. So thank you so much. Do look up Kimberly, please. You've
Thank you.
got trilogy.com and it's Kimberly Meredith, and you can look up her book. And it has been such a pleasure. Thank you for coming on as a guest.
Thank you, Gita. Thank you so much. Love you.
Yes, so welcome. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. Thank you so much for joining me, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.